It's extra time.
He shoots, and it's a goal!
Welcome to our brand new podcast, Sunday Vibes Extra Time. On today's show, we're going to be discussing how we would fix Manchester United. Me and Patrick will be kicking two things out of football, and Chris Hamill will be playing Facts with Rafa Benitez.
So we start with anything but clickbait, and in this section we discuss a topic that we're interested in regardless of whether we think it would do quote-unquote views. And this week it was unavoidable that we talked about Man United. They lost to Juventus midweek. Pretty unimpressive stuff. And so we've decided that Joe, you're going to take on the role of Man United Director of Football. Hamill and I are your chief scouts, though we're at loggerheads. We're going to pitch players to you. You have to pick one for each position that United need. And we'll see if we can turn United back into a great club, the biggest club in the world.
I don't know why you're saying it in that mocking tone.
I don't know, I just don't...
Because
you know.
We definitely are, at least financially.
It's come financially, full circle. Yes. Tomlinson is Ed Woodward.
I'm not Ed Woodward. I'm working alongside Ed Woodward. I want to stipulate now that
he's
I want to keep Ed Woodward at the club, because you are right, Patrick. Commercially, he's absolutely superb. I've actually brought some numbers to the table today, which prove it as well. Just to give a little bit of background into the role that I will be playing at Manchester United will be purely sporting, because some of these numbers that Ed is delivering are absolutely superb, but some of them are extremely negative.
Okay.
And most of those are brought to the table by the Glazers.
Okay.
Now, a lot of United fans moan every week, don't they, about we've got terrible owners, and a lot of other football fans, I think, look at United and go, well, hang on, you've spent £1 billion. How can you say your owners are terrible? I'm sure that fans of Newcastle or Charlton will be looking at United going, you've got great owners, mate. Don't worry about
Charlton,
that.
Where did that come from?
Because I don't know, it's an interesting pull.
Charlton have got some of the worst owners in football, or have had over the last few years.
True that.
Very specific knowledge.
And you look at imagine being a Blackpool fan and looking at Man United and thinking, well, really, lads, can you moan about your owners when we've got the Oysters?
Them lot are just happy with a full squad, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, trialists.
Also, they're in Blackpool, so I mean...
Wow, Patrick already digging out locations.
I've been to Blackpool.
Right,
it's not all that.
Absolutely horrific.
It's dreadful. It's just full of sad donkeys.
But if you look at United, over the last year, £590 million total income, which is ginormous. Absolutely monstrous. That's a combination of broadcast rights, match revenue, and, of course, Big Ed's favourite, commercial.
How does that compare to other big clubs?
So other big clubs, I've got some noted down here. Arsenal bought in 400 million, so nearly 200 million shy.
Pretty good.
Of Manchester
United.
But
money doesn't go as far in London, does it?
No, it doesn't, especially when Chelsea are only rocking 386 million, so 200 million shy.
Can barely
of
buy
United,
a coffee for that in London.
And Liverpool only 364 million. So, United are blowing teams away in terms of commercial revenue, in terms of broadcast revenue. I think we had more games on TV than Manchester City last season, despite the fact they won the league.
You earned £204 million in broadcast income, largely because you're on TV more than Manchester City. And on the subject of Manchester City, because they are the apex team in the Premier League right now, aren't they? In the last 10 years, you've made £1.16 billion more than Manchester City, yet they have outspent you. So they've spent £1.46 billion, you've spent £1 billion. Still a sizable amount in 10 years. So you've earned X amount more and they've spent X amount more, and that void is just filled with Ed Woodward's dirty, dirty money.
Yes, the dirty commercial money. As Mark Goldbridge said, Ed Woodward's outselling another denim jean deal. I'm not being funny. The man could literally sell ice to the Eskimos. It's unbelievable.
Sand to the Arabs.
We've got noodle partners. We've got tractor partners.
I love your tractor partner.
In Thailand.
it's incredible. And you know what? United often get whacked with a stick of your wages are ridiculous. You're paying Alexis Sanchez 500k a week. Well, comparatively to what we earn, United have the best wage-to-income ratio in the entire league.
Okay.
50% ours is.
Especially over the last 10 years. I think City have caught up with you now, right?
City are pretty close to us now.
Every £100 you were spending in 2011... Yeah. £46 went on wages.
No, every £100 you earn, right? Oh, it's wage to income. Yeah.
Correct. And for every £100 City earn, they're in fact still paying £114
in wages.
Towards wages.
What?
So building up a huge deficit.
So they've managed to bring that down. They've plateaued seriously.
Okay,
whereas United have stabilised between sort of 45 and 50% over the last 8 to 9 years, which is pretty incredible.
Jesus.
That's not bad going, given that you look at City and they fluctuated up to 114% of total income, meaning they were spending more on wages than they were bringing into the club.
So what Hamill said before, like you earning £1.1 billion more than City means that you could spend another £1 billion. You could have spent another £1 billion on transfer fees over the last however many years and still have made 100 mil more than Man City.
We 100% could have, but
that's
equally
insane.
We 100% couldn't have, because we've, in the last decade, spent £785 million on interest payments to the banks.
Oh, overdraft. Just... Mate, I completely get it.
Mate, I know.
I'm all about it.
When you get that text from HSBC, £5, please, because you've still not paid it off. You're a day late.
We were sorting out overtime today, and I had to go on my bank app, and I really, really didn't enjoy it. I found it very upsetting.
Hollow-chested, savage feeling.
Anyone that's been to university will understand the feeling of an overdraft, but £785 million is a serious overdraft.
That is a lot.
That's all Glazer debt money as well. We were at one stage paying a 16% APR because the Glazers were such risky borrowers.
Yeah, but 16%... For that to turn into 785 million, even over the course of like 10 years, how much did they borrow?
I don't know. But
what did they borrow?
Ridiculous.
And much in like the same way that Wenger probably doesn't get the credit for smoothing that transition when you move stadiums, Fergie probably doesn't get enough for navigating the transfer market during that period when you were viewed as risky borrowers. Because it was only down to some of his more savvy dealings and Steve Bruce picking up every academy reject for £7 million that you actually earn enough money to be trusted on a less crucifix APR.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I mean, United last year, let's take this for example, total profit after we spent wages and all of the operating costs, total profit of £44 million. Now, it doesn't actually sound that much, does it, comparatively
it's
to the
others?
It's
not that much.
Yeah. Well, wait for this one, because the Glazers took £22 million of that for their own pocket in dividends. So we actually only ended
all the
up
shareholders,
with a 20...
right.
All of the shareholders, but majority Glazers. So £22 million was taken out of Manchester United's profits in the form of dividends last season. So the club actually only saw a £22 million profit last year.
To be fair, that doesn't necessarily matter, because everyone at the club's getting paid. You've got plenty to spend on transfers, and the club will continue to appreciate in value regardless of whether it makes a profit, because obviously commercial rev goes up and all that kind of stuff. So technically, what it makes in profit, it's not like a normal business. It's a bit of a red herring, right?
No, 100%. I kind of agree with you. What is a red herring for me, though, and is seriously ringing alarm bells, are statements from Ed Woodward like the following: playing performance has no impact on what we can do on the commercial side of the business.
Oh,
now say
it,
that
he?
To the shareholders, Ed, but
he
not to the fans.
It's not great for football, is it? That general stance.
It's ridiculous for football. That's an awful thing to say. I don't care. Well,
it's a fine thing to say in a boardroom. It's just a thing that should never make its way out of the boardroom.
So that
dirty washing, public vibes.
Horrible. So that kind of sets the scene, doesn't it, in terms of where United are financially. We are a behemoth.
And this is sponsored by the Financial Times.
Yeah. We are a behemoth in terms of commercial, broadcast and income. But we're not spending it particularly wisely in terms of transfers. We aren't selling particularly well in terms of profitability.
This is an incredible segue that's in progress.
Oh God,
right,
I was going to interrupt it as well.
Go on,
before we move on, because you are doing so well, just wanted to shout out the Cola sponsor, 2018. The numbers haven't been announced for it. United sleeve sponsor, because they're an American toilet manufacturer, which coincides lovely with your absolutely dog turd form.
What are they
it?
Called?
How ironic is that? Curler.
Curler.
Oh right, I thought you said Cola, and I was like, they. What?
No, they make toilets. Doctor, yeah,
they make toilets. Nice.
But it's just a mess, isn't it? I mean, behind the scenes, we're earning a lot of money, but we're just not spending it wisely. And today, boys, it's your job to convince me how to spend it, because I've brought a squad list to the table. You can't see it because you're listening on the podcast app, but it's like a hit list. I've crossed about 8-9 players out of our current 29-man squad that I'm looking at on paper here. And I've also got a lot out of contract. In fact,
this is like an FBI list on any good crime film. Tomlinson's got exes through people.
Yes.
He's who have you killed? Who are you replacing?
No, he's got like a coded system.
I've got
like
a metric going
there,
on.
There are
a bit
different
of paper,
symbols that mean different things, and it relates to how much he wants them dead.
No, it doesn't.
Right?
It doesn't relate to that. It relates to how much I want them sold.
Can we find an opportunity for Hamill to make his dead Woodward joke again?
That was sensational.
Dead Woodward. It's so good.
We did a run through yesterday. It wasn't great, so we're doing it again. And I can't even remember when dead Woodward came into it. But thanks for that.
We're going to use it forever.
So just looking at the current squad, I've crossed out a few names, and I want you to tell me how much you think we would earn from these players.
Okay.
Phil Jones, Chris Smalling, Ashley Young, Antonio Valencia, Matteo Darmian, Juan Mata, Andreas Pereira, and a Herrera. Regional figure. Give me a rough, because I've listed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 names.
Wages
there.
Included.
Sorry, I'm going to throw two more onto the mix. David De Gea and Anthony Martial.
Oh, my God.
10 players there. How much will we earn?
Great. Odin's
300 mil.
Raven.
Wait, including
I reckon you could get 100 for De Gea. I reckon you could get 60, 70 for Martial. Let's say 250.
Well, let me tell you, gentlemen, we will be taking zero for them because they're all out of contract in the summer. So I think my first job as director of football...
Extend David De Gea.
...will be to extend everybody and their aunt. I mean, there's a few players that I've noted down that need extending. David De Gea, obviously being number one.
He's
good. Give him 800,000 a week if we have to.
I mean, the good thing about De Gea is, right, you look around Europe at the top clubs at the moment and they're all pretty set on a goalkeeper, apart... from
except
PSG.
Yeah, they're the
and
ones.
PSG would throw money at him, wouldn't they?
Oh, God, David wouldn't go there, would he?
Alphonso Areola, not great.
Never mentioned
Gigi
his name
Buffon,
in the same
47.
Is he? How old is Gigi?
1,000 years old.
I know. Gigi is
timeless.
Loved, by the way. When I went to the PSG stadium the other week, every chance,
why wouldn't
all game was about Buffon.
He must be the greatest player who's ever gone to that club.
There's only like three legends at PSG because they were formed in like 1985.
True.
Paoletto,
Ibrahimovic.
Zlatan. Yeah, and now they've just nicked a certified legend in Buffon, haven't they?
Yeah. So I'm getting rid of a few players.
Okay.
Here.
So okay. Who are you renewing and who are you getting rid of?
So just to clarify, I'm renewing Chris Smalling. Early doors. I'm renewing De Gea and Anthony Martial. That's out of the question,
sure.
Obviously. Get them down, 5-year contracts. Chris Smalling is getting a contract.
Happy with that.
At the club. I think he can play a role on the bench in my new team for me. He's an okay bit of cover for
you've
United.
Already fired Mourinho, I assume, so everyone's out the door.
Mourinho's gone. I've got my
it's easy to say to Martial, you're going to be important.
We're not going to talk about managers today, but I've got, let's say, a regen manager that plays the perfect philosophy for Manchester United.
Yeah,
in
got you.
So Chris Smalling is going to get a contract renewal and play a peripheral role. Phil Jones is not. Phil Jones, for me, his time is up at Manchester United.
He's going to Watford.
Chances.
Great mil.
Yeah, Watford, Everton.
Everton.
I can see him somewhere like that, definitely. When
you know what?
A
do job.
Experiment fails.
I bet. I guarantee next year, Phil Jones will be at Watford or Everton, and everyone will say, never really appreciated at Man United.
Him and Michael Keane, they'll be like a cheap man's Aymeric Laporte and John Stones.
For sure. Next out of the door, Marcos Rojo, probably to Galatasaray.
Forgot you still owned him.
Two-footed out the door as well.
Yeah.
Like there's everything else.
Sliding forever.
Somebody will probably pick Marcos Rojo up and he'll be okay. He might go back to Portugal maybe. Or
like a lower Spanish club maybe.
I'm thinking maybe even Beşiktaş. Something like that. They quite like.
I could see a Villarreal or someone taking
there's
a
punt. There's a recurring theme here, isn't there? In that all these players have had moments where they've been okay.
Yes.
Not good enough to have started X amount of games. Probably could be decent squad players. But you've relied on them far too much.
Yeah.
Matteo Darmian next out the door. I'm sure he'll go back to Italy and prove to be a fine player for somebody like a Roma or that sort of level.
That's been in the post, hasn't it, Darmian?
Yeah, it's been in the post for ages. He's out of contract. He will leave on a free. I'm hoping to get some money for Marcos Rojo because he did renew early this year, but obviously that was a renewal to sell. I am giving a year extension to Valencia and Young, who are both out of contract in the summer.
Sure.
Quite senior members of the squad. They do a job on the bench for me. Yeah. Don't start them, though. Manager does not start them. Next out the door, Juan Mata.
Okay.
Juan Mata, for me, I think his time has come at Manchester United.
Yeah.
And again, I think he could go back to Spain and do a fine job for a club like Villarreal. Or maybe even back to Valencia, you know, and play as a sort of a 10 in that system. I just think he's had a day at Manchester United and doesn't get enough game time, probably on a fairly chunky wage, and he's out of contract in the summer. I wouldn't renew.
He's being asked to play as a false number 10 at the moment, and there's an awful lot of defensive responsibility in there. He's tiring every game. He's lasting 60 minutes before Herrera comes on. You're right, much like Santi Cazorla, he's far too nice just to peter away at United, isn't he?
Yeah.
He should have one last hurrah in Spain for sure. We sanction the move out of kindness.
Yeah, and he's available on a free. I wouldn't renew it. I think if you renew it, then you find trouble trying to get a club in the future for him because he will be approaching sort of 33, 34.
Yeah, he's going to Atalanta to back up Alejandro Gomez.
I think he'll go
Papu.
Back to Spain. I actually think he'll go back to Spain.
I love it when you call me Big Papu.
Another player who is up for renewal, and I will trigger the extension in order to sell for 10 to 15 million, Ander Herrera. Ander Herrera, for me, is fine.
Oh.
in there, but 29 years of age now and very reliant on being a sort of flying out the line, pressing midfielder in a system that isn't suited to that right now. 29 years of age, don't like him positionally, think he's regressed on the ball since he's joined Manchester United.
It's a shame, he used to be a nice little playmaker in the Bielsa.
But Ander Herrera, I've been in love with Ander Herrera at stages during his Manchester United career. I've called for him to get the captaincy on occasion. That's how low I felt about the rest of the squad, I think. But for
in
me
fairness
now,
to you, you've just reverted to your original stance, which was get rid of him, make him captain, now get rid of him again.
It's been a real roller coaster for him.
Yeah, pure ultra violence, really, from Ander Herrera.
Andreas Pereira, now here's an interesting one. Hasn't really progressed a great deal. Now coming up to, 24 years of age? Been at Valencia on loan for a year, hasn't locked down a single position. Is he a winger? Is he an attacking mid? Is he a defensive mid? I'm renewing his contract.
Okay.
In order to either loan or sell him. I don't think you can let him go for free.
I know
personally
nothing about this kid,
yeah,
PVS.
I got nothing.
Yeah, he's a bit of an anomaly. Obviously, he struck gold playing in defensive midfield in the pre-season tour and it worked. And then since then, hasn't given him a game.
When someone says this guy can play on the wing in attacking midfield or as a DM, that player is either incredible or terrible.
Yeah.
Like they're either like Arturo Vidal or Pavel Nedved.
It's the reverse McTominay.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like he's just a bloke.
Like when you lost to Brighton, was it 3-2 in the end?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. I was saying, why don't you bring Pereira on? And the United fan next to me said he's been on for an hour. That is my view on Pereira.
I know
so
what you mean. A couple of other notable names in midfield. I will keep Marouane Fellaini. I'm going to keep him now. I was wavering about letting him go, but I'm keeping Marouane Fellaini out of the club. Just because he offers a different option and you never know, do you? I feel like Fergie would
have
kept
him. Depressing.
I know, it is depressing. And he really is the poster boy for everything that's gone wrong at Manchester United over the last 5 years. But let's keep him in the squad. Nemanja Matic.
You can't turn over an entire squad.
Exactly.
In
Nemanja Matic, I was also close to saying...
It's one or the other. Fellaini or Matic has to go, right?
No, I disagree. I'm keeping them both.
Oh, dear.
And I'm loaning
no legs
out,
between
I'm loaning out Scott McTominay. I think Scott McTominay has been used as a pawn in Jose Mourinho's games with the press and Manchester United fans over the last year.
Yeah, playing at centre-back was unfair.
100%, man. And, you know, he's a player who just doesn't get the game time he needs at that age. He's a player who's come through a fairly underfunded Manchester United academy at the wrong time, doesn't really have a lockdown position in a similar sort of vein to a player like Paddy McNair 4 or 5 years ago, or maybe even 3 years ago,
when Steve
Van
Bruce
Gaal
paid...
was playing him in centre-back and then defensive midfield and right back.
I think
back.
Steve Bruce paid $6 million for him.
Yeah.
Scott McTominay, I think his career trajectory is going to be similar to a Tom Cleverley. He'll bounce around mid-table clubs and probably have a fine top-level career, but there's no way in hell he's good enough to play for Manchester United.
So I'm looking to loan him out. Alexis Sanchez is my next one out of the door.
Tomlinson.
Alexis Sanchez for
dramatic.
Me.
I can't argue with us.
He's got to go!
He has... His creative numbers are still pretty good. I think it's like 3.5 chances created per game, but that is down from his time at Arsenal. It's roughly the same, but the quality of chances has gone down, rather. He's very important to you in the pressing game.
He is.
Statsbomb were talking about this recently, where actually, in terms of putting pressure on opposition defenders and midfielders, he does it more than any other of United's forwards or midfielders.
Press. We have no pressing game,
also,
so is that good?
But your next coach presumably will press.
He'd also completed the most passes into the box, hadn't he, for United?
I think so.
Above Paul Pogba, which is alarming considering the minutes. I assume that was adjusted for minutes, but...
But for me, Alexis Sanchez, I think cut your losses now and get him into China, if he can.
Is he physically that kind of exhausted? As in, could a new manager not get the best, get another year out of Alexis Sanchez?
He's not like Moussa Dembele, like stick a fork in him, but he's pretty... I mean, that last year at Arsenal, he was slowing down visibly. I actually think you'd be better off playing him as a kind of poaching nine. His movement's still good,
before,
than playing him on the wing.
When you shave your head, it's game over.
But
he went full Britain.
But I'm running in dictatorship here, and Alexis Sanchez is out of the door, I'm afraid.
He's also a pain in the ass.
Just eating up a lot of wages, really bad personality on the training ground.
I can appreciate a firm hand. He's gone, mate. He's
I think
gone.
Alexis's gone. So I'll run through my squad as it stands, and I'll tell you then
where I'm...
No, it's not. So my current goalkeeper, obviously David De Gea, Sergio Romero, Joel Pereira. I'm not going to talk about Lee Grant on this podcast.
Don't be disrespectful, please.
Victor Lindelof, Eric Bailly, and Chris Smalling are my central defensive options at the moment, which leaves me wanting some. I'm also bringing Timothy Fosu-Mensah back from loan. I think he could do a fine job for Manchester United. Being at Fulham is not helping him at all in that completely exposed defence. Luke Shaw, Diogo Dalot, and him are the fullbacks. So I'm very weak at the back here. So, gentlemen, from the defence, I'm asking for at least one centre-back and a right-back. In midfield, I am left with Paul Pogba, Jesse Lingard, Fred, Fellaini, and Matic. So really,
It's
not horrible, but I am genuinely looking here for a DM and a CM. And I'm looking to push Matic to the bench, Fellaini to the bench, and Lingard is a rotational forward, more than a midfielder in this system. And up front, I'm looking for a right winger, because I've already got Lukaku, Rashford and Martial, and I'm potentially... I'm potentially promoting Greenwood to the first team. Mason Greenwood, the youngster from Manchester United.
Why is that? Tell me
he's
a bit about him.
He's been on absolute fire this season for Manchester United's youth academy. I think he's 19, 18.
Okay, cool. Good.
He's been involved in, I think, 15 goals in 8 games, 11 goals, 4 assists.
Promising.
I think he's got 4-3 in the Champions League, Youth Champions League. And I'm also bringing Tahith Chong into the side. United need a bit of right wing cover. He is a right winger in the United youth setup. Nicky Butt, the head of academy, has bigged him up heavily. And I'm trusting Big Nick.
Angel Gomez?
Angel Gomez is part of an under-23 side that's pointless. The under-23 league in England is a waste of time.
Interesting.
No point anybody being there. Angel Gomez desperately needs a loan, so I'll renew in Angel Gomez and I'm chucking him out on loan to the Bundesliga if I possibly can.
Got you.
So that is my current setup. I'm needing a right-back, centre-back, at least one, DMCM right-wing, and I'm going to throw a wild card out there as well, gentlemen.
Okay.
Now, I've got some of my own ideas here, but, you know, chief scouts, as you are, I want a right back.
So, imagine if you will, we're on Football Manager. Joe's right-clicked me. He sent me on an expedition for 6 months around the world to find these positions.
Nigeria, attributes, physically strong. That's what I always go for.
I registered as Belgian because I can talk multiple languages as a result. A Football Manager trick for you there. Van Straaten has done the same. So we've come back. We've got a little file of facts of players. And now we're pitching them to you, aren't we? And you're going to effectively pick one of our options or veto them and go for someone that you've plumped on.
Yes, I want to hear your right back options because I'll be honest, I've got zero written down here. My director of football knowledge level, not good enough to find a right back. So I need chief scout suggestions. Bearing in mind, my current right back is Timmy Fosu-Mensah / Diogo Dalot.
Would you like to go first, PVS?
Sure, I'm happy to. Now, I like Fosu-Mensah, I do. And Diogo Dalot might be good.
I wish everyone could see the lean in there. We've all leaned in.
I'm excited. So anyway, I've gone for somebody. You know what? I want somebody who's proven in a top league, or at least has a little bit, is playing in a top league right now.
Okay.
Young. I've actually gone younger than I intended to, because I think in United's case, you don't have to go for a 19, 20-year-old. You're not Arsenal. You can go for somebody 23, 24. But this one is so good that I've picked a 20-year-old. I picked a 20-year-old.
Well, I've already got Diogo Dalot, so this is going to have to convince me.
I've gone for Aaron Wan-Bissaka from Crystal Palace. My boy. He is...
Wow.
He's filth. He's absolutely filthy. He is winning the ball back 7 times a game this season. And I know sometimes we say this stuff and it just sounds like a number, but only Idrissa Gueye is making more tackles than him in the Premier League. I believe he ranks 3rd in Europe for possession regains per 90 minutes. That is mental. He's a great dribbler, a couple of dribbles a game, which puts him, I think, in the top 10% of fullbacks around Europe's top 5 leagues, which is outrageous. He's creating a chance a game at the moment. Not spectacular, but like I say, he's 20. And I do think that he will need to do less creative work if you choose to go for some of my forward options later on. I just think he's very fast. He's extremely strong. He's very hard to dribble by. I think he's been dribbled by 3 times in the Premier League this season. Whenever he tries to make a tackle, he almost always manages it. Plus, he's homegrown. I don't think he'd break the bank, but I think he'd be a bit pricey. Fullbacks are difficult around Europe at the moment. I think Wan-Bissaka's a smart option.
I think he's... so for me...
That is a great pitch, I'll say. But I'm going to undercut it because I'm a snake with
the sample size is small at the minute for Bissaka. He's impressed in his opening 10 games for Palace. Can he sustain it, Van Straan, across the course of a season? If he does this season, I agree he's ready to step up.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying.
But you put your name on the line for target number one.
Well, obviously I can only go on what I've got at the moment, but I'm assuming that he's going to put out this same sort of performance for the rest of the season. Maybe his tackle and interception numbers come down. But even if they come down by a third, he'd still be among the best defensive fullbacks in Europe. That's how crazy out there his numbers are right now. And he's so young that he's sure to improve a little bit. Plus, of course, he is homegrown, which will give him resale value if you decide to move him on. And, lest we forget, more proven than Diogo Dalot.
He is more proven than Diogo Dalot. His age concerns me.
I understand.
I think that...
Boss, I get it.
I really think that Palace are going to drive an extremely hard bargain about Wan-Bissaka, given their negotiating stance on Wilfried Zaha.
There were yet to hear rumours about him.
Tough.
And the fact that other major clubs, are set for fullbacks means that I think there's a window here to maybe get him without a lot of competition.
But having said that, I actually did a radio show where Steve Parrish was a phone-in for it. I think he's the Palace chairman.
Yeah.
And he spent nearly the entire show saying how incredible Wan-Bissaka is, how he could not believe
it. He's also got more highlights on Dortmund.
So
at the same time, what are we saying? What have we said about Man United?
Big income.
Infinite money.
big income. So Wan-Bissaka, I'm noting down. I'll be honest, I'm sceptical. I understand that.
You lack faith in youth.
I feel like I've already got a risky young right back in Diogo Dalot. And I know he's got a small sample size, Wan-Bissaka, and Diogo Dalot's got an even smaller one. But
you are already putting faith in some risky fullbacks. Fosu Mensah, also barely Premier League proven. Yeah. Diogo Dalot, not even proven in any top league. And Luke Shaw, lest we forget, it is possible his leg comes off.
But the thing I like about Diogo is he can operate a right back and left back, which is a bit of a positive for me.
So we're told.
And after 500 minutes in the Liga NOS.
And Fosu Mensah can play as a centre back as well.
Yeah. I do like Fosu Mensah. I think keeping Fosu Mensah is smart. But what I'm saying is, risks are worth taking.
Some people at home, I'm sure, will be saying, what about Axel Tuanzabi? I'm loaning Axel Tuanzabi out to the Bundesliga.
He is.
If anyone back home
a triple word
in their head said, what is Joe doing with Axel Tuanzabi?
I guarantee somebody will. Yeah, United fan 100%
yeah,
will.
Yeah, it will be Michael McCubbin.
Go on then, Hamill. You're going to have to top a very strong. If that was the Dragons then, I'd be close to making
it. I'm Duncan Bannatyne, I'm in. And he's the toughest dragon to impress. Peter, I would throw his money at anyone.
No,
but
I don't
Duncan...
know. I've seen Deborah Meaden rip some men's hearts out in that round.
She is the dragon. Right, very convincing, Van Straan. I think the fact you've made that a realistic scenario is a nod to your negotiation skills. And very Monchi-esque. But Manchester United don't have a Monchi-esque means of operating, do they?
They don't.
Especially after Mu. Mu's gone, Regen's come in.
Uh-oh.
We need instant success.
We need instant success.
He's going to tempt me in here.
And I've gone for Thomas Meunier from PSG.
Ooh, I do not like this move.
Ooh! We're at loggerheads already. I like it.
Go ahead.
Absolute theatre. Okay, so PSG, we know, don't sell players for cheap and they don't need the money, but he's only got 2 years left on his contract. So we're looking at the end of the season, possibly picking him up for a relatively decent sum. He's 27, so he's good to go now, okay? He's of a good age, he's got good top-flight experience, although the amount of starts he's put together has been patchy. I mean, in 17-18, he only made 16 starts in Ligue 1 on a bit of a rotation, wasn't he?
That makes me nervous.
Was that with Aurier? No,
maybe
Aurier was at Spurs.
Maybe.
Or was that in Jan?
But despite that, he actually contributed to 8 goals in 16 starts.
But do I want an attacking fullback given how already
bring back the days of the flying wingers at United, okay? You've said it before.
Oh, see, that does hurt me.
Now I'm pulling on the hot.
Here's my thing on Meunier, though. He's not actually that fast. He's not a great dribbler. You know what he is? He's Branislav Ivanovic or Marcus Alonso. He's that sort of fullback.
How dare you? I at least waited 2 minutes till I totally
shot right, finish your
idea.
Finish what you're saying.
Okay, his numbers haven't suffered, despite Patrick picking apart his physical condition. So 4 tackles and interceptions, very solid, considering he's regarded as just a wing back.
Not as good as 7.
More so than a full back. Anyway, 1 key pass, very solid numbers going forward. And I will say that Transfermarkt's current evaluation of him is quite shy, as they tend to be. 22.5 mil. I think, boss man ting, we can get him for £30 million next summer. Ooh. Tuchel isn't a fan. Tuchel's going to have a year left. He's been playing youngsters there because he's not quick enough in the transition, albeit. But if we get a ball-playing centre-half, less important.
Allow me to rebut. Can I rebut a little
bit? I will firstly just make a note about Meunier. Notorious arsehole in the dressing room.
So he'll fit right.
Very
is that true?
Much Sergio.
So
Aurier
Sergio
levels.
Ramos, and you love him.
Very Sergio much Sergio Aurier levels. In the fans hate him.
Why?
Because
he tweeted about Marseille.
He liked a tweet, basically detailing a Marseille fan after their game against Red Bull Leipzig tweeted saying best atmosphere I've ever experienced in France. Meunier liked it. Now that was taken by the PSG
ultras. What an unpardonable.
It gets worse as a bit of an affront because obviously the rivalry between PSG and Marseille is pretty large. They then released a statement saying, can you apologise? He said, I'm not going to apologise to fans and supporters.
Rinsed.
You're just supporters.
He's actually winning over Van Straat. Van Straat likes
Mate, I'm all about
so
it. Yeah, get Meunier.
So then a PSG fan tweeted him.
He should have said what Ed Woodward said. He should have said,
exchange.
You know what? Commercial revenue is not affected by performances on
yeah,
the pitch.
Yeah, he had a bit of a heated exchange with a fan on Twitter, which made it worse.
Oh,
so he's
good.
Not the most liked man in Paris. And there were rumours he was available in the summer for £36 million. And
that's
he was being made available.
We can use all of
I
this
like
to our advantage.
It's quite a bit.
To take him for sub-25.
I will say, I think you could get Meunier for cheaper than Wan-Bissaka.
Here's my response. Yes, but that's because he's worth less, because he's older. And also, you say one chance created a game on an extremely dominant team in a league which, whilst good, is not as good as the Premier League. Wan-Bissaka is putting up the same creative numbers for a much worse team in a much tougher league. He's also got better defensive numbers, though I think that's partially a function of them having less possession. PSG have 70% of the ball, so four tackles and interceptions.
If it's adjusted for possession, Meunier's four is looking pretty good.
It's pretty damn good. But I think that Wan-Bissaka is going to give you more. I think he's a better investment in the long term. And one of your arguments for why Man United can get him is because Tuchel doesn't like him. And I think it's a weird move to say, you know what, a very good manager has come in and said, and I quote, we have no fullbacks at this club.
He also said that about Kurzawa, and we like Kurzawa. He's
all right.
You know, we'll go 2-for-1.
I mean, I'm honest though.
Emery also had his objections though, right? Like, Emery used him a lot, but Emery also used Marquinhos there and kind of chopped and changed a little bit.
Yeah, but Tuchel's now using Marquinhos as a six. I think I'm going to settle this now.
I think you very cleverly pitched this at the right bloke.
I'm going to settle this now, and I am going to go with Thomas
Meunier. I knew you would.
Yes. I want Diogo Dalot to be the young fullback that can offer cover and hopefully burst into something special, and I want Thomas Meunier to come in and have an immediate impact.
I'm not sure I want to work at a club with this level of
it's
cowardice.
Too late because you're under contract.
If you're Roma or you're Sevilla, you're picking up Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah,
I don't think they can afford it.
Thomas Meunier is coming in as my right back. Good pitch for Wan-Bissaka, but I've said no. Centre backs. I'm actually after two here, so there is the potential I could take one from both of you. But I have some of my own options here.
I'd love to hear them.
Come on, boss.
I'm bringing to the table Christensen from Chelsea.
If you can get him,
22
excellent.
Years of
I would
age.
Never have thought of Christensen.
He is under contract until 2022, so he has only recently signed a new contract. But publicly, over the last 3 months, has made it very clear he wants out of Chelsea.
If you can get him out of Chelsea, I would be very impressed.
He's not getting the game time under Sarri. He wants maybe a move back to the Bundesliga. Mönchengladbach are the club that are currently leading the race for his signature, apparently. I could see a club like Manchester United coming in with a more significant offer than Gladbach. Chelsea saying, you know what, in a similar way to how they did with Wan-Mata, and we're willing to do a Willian, how are we going to let him go? They're stacked for centre-back talent.
All right, mate. Well,
if we can get Christensen in, I'd like to hear a better pitch.
I'm actually a little bit annoyed that you've gone for someone who is very gettable and very good and would probably cost a modest amount.
Is he gettable? That's my question. I just don't think they sell him to you.
It's
I think they want him.
Close.
I think they keep him.
I think they want him. I think what will happen is he'll go to a club like Gladbach in a similar vein to how they sold KDB to Wolfsburg. Was it Wolfsburg or Werder Bremen?
To Wolfsburg.
But this time they'll have a buyback in there.
Okay.
Potentially.
So I'm putting Christensen down, but
not
I'm not locked into him. I've got a couple of others.
Okay.
I'm hoping you haven't
Shoot.
Got in. I've got Matthijs de Ligt Nice. But I'm fully aware he's probably going to join Barcelona. So I'm saying, you know what? I'm going to leave the league alone. At 19 years old, clearly going to be one of the best centre-backs in Europe. Barca, Spurs and Juventus all want him. He's probably going to go to Barca over Man United in the current state.
Yeah, him and Frankie de Jong are off, aren't they?
It looks that way.
And the last name...
Good choice, though.
The last name I'm putting down, 24-year-old in Serie A, Daniele Regani.
Interesting, because Chelsea tried to get him this season, didn't they, for 40. I think he's probably got one season left to really impress Allegri and show him that he can be a mainstay in that defence. I think the move for Bonucci with the part exchange of Mattia Caldara would have hurt him big time. I think he's probably looked at that and thought, I've got to turn things around quickly, because his defensive output, and again, this goes back to what you're saying about PSG, wasn't big last season. But then there was no obvious area of his game, at least statistically speaking, that shone in the way that Barzagli's got great anticipation. Chiellini puts up great tackle numbers. Bonucci's got a great distributor. He seems to be a good rotation option at the moment, but definitely got massive potential.
2021 under contract until, but has apparently made the board aware if he doesn't get significant game time this season, he will be leaving. 24 years old, pretty good profile. Hasn't picked up any injuries throughout his career.
Sarri wanted him.
I think Regani's not the worst option, but I'm willing to listen to other news from you two.
So let's take this one
Hamill,
first.
You can Hamill. Kick us off, seeing as Pat did last.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if we have the same player.
My options...
I have two as well.
Well, they're fairly obvious. And I think it's really hard at the moment to shop around for competent centre-backs. At least ones that United haven't considered in the last 12 months, because we know, we've talked about in Sunday Vibes, there's an extensive list. Harry Maguire being on there, Toby Alderweireld being on there, and I think Alderweireld would have fit the bill 12 months ago.
If you're pitching Alderweireld, I'd say no now.
No, don't you worry about that, Squire. 12 months ago, he'd have been a great option, injury-free, great distributor, senior head, composed. Harry Maguire might be a good option in 12 months' time. I think at times he probably lacks a little bit of, I'm not going to say pace, but maybe game management at the top level. However, he is improving exponentially. I've also considered Jimenez. But I think either Skriniar of Inter Milan.
Nice.
Or Koulibaly. And I acknowledge he would be an excessive amount of cash.
And he's old now.
From Napoli. He's 27, but Van Strand,
I
think...
he was 28.
No,
he's turning 28 fairly soon, I think. However, I think he could still come in on a four-year contract, fulfil that four-year contract, and be an absolute worldie.
I'm saying no right now to Koulibaly.
Oh, but you've not even listened to my rationale. Okay. Averages 70 passes a game. We need a passer. We need a distributor. He's got a great short game. His pass accuracy is about 95%. He completes 5 long balls a game. That's what people were raving about, you know, when it comes to Bonucci, Alderweireld. That's why they were viable options last year, because he's got that distribution. At the minute, you're kicking it back to De Gea. De Gea's clearing it. No one's composing that back line.
Yep.
Average pass length. Must be a disgrace.
But he's going to cost me 120 mil.
And he's massively press. We've got all the money in the world. Just get another tractor involved. He's massively press resistant, which I don't think any of United's defenders are. Phil Jones and Chris Morton look like deers in the headlights, don't they, when Liverpool come to town, when Manchester City come to town, even Chelsea now. The way the Premier League is going, the calibre of manager there is all becoming about pressing, winning the ball back in the final third. United are so poorly equipped to deal with a really high-pressing Koulibaly, coolness personified, stick 150 on the table. Napoli, some crooked exec at the little donkeys will take it.
What about Skriniar?
Skriniar, okay.
I like this one more.
This is more...
How old is Skriniar?
24?
He's not. I think he's 23, 24, yeah.
Around that.
He's a young lad.
Every time I watch Skriniar, he's unbelievable.
He's extremely good. Expensive, but good. Also wants to play on the right, which I think is where Baye is going to play ultimately.
I don't care about where Baye wants to play if Skriniar comes in.
Okay, I mean, Skriniar, he came to mind, admittedly, an 11th hour edition, watching Inter Milan versus Barcelona at the Camp Nou t'other night, because he was, despite them being under the cosh, massively, him and Vecino actually put it up very admirable defensive numbers. 14 tackles and interceptions between them. They look like the only players who could really
win back the ball and they relieve the pressure on the side. Skriniar, he's so aggressive in every part of his game, tackling, passing the ball. He was splitting the lines, very fine lines as well. When the channels were packed, he still took on the passes and he looked brave. He looks like his mentality is strong. He's strong of character. Things that are maybe a little bit harder to quantify with stats, but he looks like a leader, and he looks in incredible shape.
Okay, Pato.
I will say this: he gets a lot of protection from Inter's midfield, and I think my issue with Koulibaly as well is that when you play for such an insanely ball dominant side as Napoli, your pass numbers, like completing 70 passes a game, I'm kind of like.
Part and parcel.
Yeah. His long balls, I think, is that's a much bigger selling point, and I do get that. And he's also colossal. He's 6'5", Koulibaly.
Yeah. My two options, very, very expensive, though.
It's interesting that we're emerging as different sorts of scouts here. Hamill, lazy, sits at home, goes to FIFA, goes to the highest-rated centre-backs. Pitches
I
want to
hear. I reckon Skriniar's anywhere near the highest.
I'm out on the street. I found a 13-year-old who I reckon can do a job.
Go on. I want to hear your pitch then.
I think that with centre backs, you should either pay quite a lot for guys you know are going to be good, or pay very little for guys who are a bit of a gamble.
I know there's one we agree on from Germany for sure.
I've gone for Benjamin Pavard.
Yeah,
he's my first choice here. He's 22 years old, but he's already. Top flight experience, very capable. He's 6'1", 85% pass accuracy, 4 long balls completed a game last season. Also, Stuttgart not had the best start this season.
He's going Bayern, no?
Not confirmed. Not confirmed. And apparently available this summer for about €35 million.
Bloody brilliant at right back as well.
How has he not agreed a deal with Bayern?
Don't know, but apparently he hasn't. It might get done in January, as these things often are. But I think... the fact he can play right back is great. Obviously, part of an elite defensive team at Stuttgart last season, part of an elite defensive unit at the World Cup, positionally versatile, great passer, like I said, good in the air too, decent tackle and interception numbers. But I think that stuff is always a little bit kind of misleading because a lot of it depends on the way a team plays. I think he probably has a higher ceiling as a passer than the other guy I was considering, who is Manuel Akanji. From Borussia Dortmund.
Lovely. Do you know what? Any one of their three centre backs, or I'm not sure if they're all centre backs, Diallo, Zagadou,
yeah, I was going to say, what about Diallo? Yeah.
They're all great, mate. That is a really good suggestion. I like that.
Diallo, I like. I do think he's a little bit less proven. He's a little bit less of a physical unit. He's also a good passer, but
they
these
just
guys,
bought him, didn't they? From Mainz.
Yeah, and they've been shifted around positionally a little bit. Like Zagadou, for instance, has played, and Diallo have both played at left back. Zagadou's 19. So as much as I like him, I think 19 is too young for Man United to be going. Akanji's 23. Pavard's 22. They've already shown they're great centre-backs. I think 2 years' time, they're going to be spectacular. The one thing about Akanji as well, this is a little bit kind of niche, but Benjamin Pavard weighs 76 kilos. Akanji weighs 91.
Which side does Akanji play?
He usually plays on the right because he can play as a right back, but he has played on the left and as a left back as well. He's incredibly versatile.
I am being increasingly won over by Akanji, but I feel
his size, like I think, is good.
He has to come in with someone of experience if that is the case.
Okay, so for me, I'm going to...
I like that about the weight as well. So he's a big boy. He's a physical
91
presence.
He was
kilos. Great at the World Cup, man. He was
Who,
really
Akanji?
Good. Yeah.
Well, yeah, he was very impressive at the World Cup. And I think I really like Pavard, but I do think if you want someone to come in and immediately impress... Akanji might have the edge just because there won't be that physical change. The Premier League, you're required to be big and fast in Akanji.
Okay, so for me, I'm going to discount Pavard for the same reason I'm going to discount De Ligt, because I think Pavard will go to Bayern and I think De Ligt will go to Barca. I think it's locked in, there's no point chasing them and then going down an alleyway where Bayern are going to get them inevitably anyway and we're going to look like idiots and being used for contracts like we are every single summer.
Understood.
As Manchester United.
Understood.
I'm also going to discount Kalidou Koulibaly. 27 years old, costing 120, 130 million. It's out of Iro territory for me.
Okay.
There's
no bad choice here.
I'm going with Skriniar. I think Skriniar comes
Excellent.
In as my
lead. Two on the board?
As my leader at central.
You're such a FIFA man.
He comes in as my leader and I'm going to go with Akanji.
Nice.
What, both of them?
Both of those boys come in.
You did say at the
start... You swayed me with the left-back solution that Akanji can play on the left, and I would like to see a centre-back pairing of Akanji and Skriniar.
So this brings your centre-back options to Skriniar, Akanji, Bailly, Lindelof and Small. That's a hell of a centre-back corpus.
Another reason I haven't chosen to go with Pavard...
Or Corey.
...is he's just a better version of Timothy Fosu-Mensah. I feel like Timothy Fosu-Mensah could play as a centre-back and a right-back. He's supposed to be a good ball-distributing defender.
We've already got Fosu-Mensah.
We've already got Fosu-Mensah.
And if you're, well, also, you've already got Skriniar and Akanji.
Exactly, those boys are starting for me.
And there's a clear hierarchy there as well, isn't there? Smalling knows he's not getting any game time.
Smalling is the senior figure that plays maybe 5-10 games a season.
Do you know what? If Lindelof is the Lindelof of the second half against Juventus for the rest of the season, then picking up two centre-backs is less of an issue for us.
I want those two centre-backs, though. I'm getting those two centre-backs.
And it's nice as well if when you choose to play Lindelof, you're choosing to play Lindelof as opposed to like, oh God, everyone's injured or terrible, Lindelof has to play.
Completely agree. Right, we're moving into midfield now. Defensive midfielders, gentlemen, I need a pitch because looking at my list, I've got written down in front of me here from a director of football, Adrian Rabiot on three.
I think he's going Barca.
But in the same respect as Pavard and De Ligt, I'm chalking him off because I think he's agreed to deal with
Barca. You don't want his mum
to be calling up the papers going, United want Rabiot.
Veronique is like, Joe Tomlinson took me out for a lovely dinner.
Precisely. And she'll
and
probably,
I've got an extra 10 honest, grand out of Barca.
And he called me the squeeze.
What is French for battle axe? Because we don't want any, anywhere near the club.
She'll probably do it anyway.
I actually like our stance that Barca should sign him as a long-term replacement for Busquets.
Easy.
Okay. Great option for them. A couple of other names I've got noted down in the defensive midfield role. Toussaint, very young.
You'd have to tell me a bit more.
You've been in my folders.
I think he's operated really well with Ndombele, which is part of my thinking because I think Pogba needs help. And I think Ndombele, not the exact mould of Pogba, but plays in a similar way in terms of driving the ball through midfield, and Toussaint covers him a lot of the time.
Understood.
But he's very young, he's very rash, and it would be a huge risk. I don't think he would cost that much, though. That's a benefit. I don't think Lyon are big sales. Mm-hmm. I think you can get players out for an okay price. Another couple of names I've got noted down here. Thiago Alcantara.
Ooh.
More of a central midfield option. Ooh. I think he could be tempted by United. He's been tempted by United before, although did play us for a fool under David Moyes.
A fool!
But let's not discount him. At 27, looks like he might be moving.
I'd be worried about his physical condition.
So would I. Extremely worried. And He'd come in,
he'd be a baller for three games.
Look, I'm willing to listen to my sports scientists and they've all written him off.
He's a guy who's nice to have at your club, but not necessarily a guy you want to pay money for.
Exactly.
Right now.
And that's the final name on my defensive midfield roster potential, Ruben Neves.
Ooh, he's going Manchester City, isn't he?
Now, I'm perfectly willing to do battle with the Abu Dhabi group if we feel like Ruben Neves is the right man.
In the same way I feel like Rabiot is a great Busquets replacement, he is a great long-term replacement for Fernandinho. And he's got such a unique skill set that he's worth competing for. I'm with you on that.
Bring something to the table that makes me think Ruben Neves is not the best defensive midfield option for us to sign this coming summer, gentlemen. Because I think we have a fantastic link with Jorge Mendes. Jorge Mendes loves selling to us because we'll pay him ridiculous agent fees. And you know what? As director of football, I'm still down for that shit. But ooh. I'll take Ruben Neves if I want Ruben Neves.
I think I've only got one option.
Me too.
Who went first last time?
You're
Europe Van Straas.
I've got someone here. What matters at this position? Ball retention, defensive work rate. I want somebody as well who can ping passes to those wingers. Big defensive output, rangy, very good on the ball. Ideally experienced at the top level. I've gone for Giovanni Lo Celso.
Nice.
Okay. 22 years old, but will be 23 by the time we go for him next summer. Obviously experienced, part of PSG, that treble winning side. A very, very good player. Last season, I think he had about 70 passes a game at PSG. So on the ball a lot. He's comfortable on the ball. He had a 90% pass accuracy. Would you like to guess what his pass accuracy was for long balls?
70%.
It was 86%. He was completing five long balls a game.
But I want to know.
Real Betis now, right?
Ruthless.
So with my current setup, I'm looking to push Meunier and Luke Shaw fairly high up the pitch to offer me some width. So this gentleman, whoever he may be, is going to have to be adept at dropping between the centre-backs and picking the ball up.
He is a sitter. That is what Lo Celso did under Emery. Over five tackles and interceptions in 2017-18 season.
That's impressive stuff.
With very, very good numbers. Especially, again, the same thing with Meunier. an extremely possession dominant side. So to get five tackles and interceptions, he has gone out on loan, which means I think that they don't necessarily want to keep him. But he's gone to another good side in Real Betis, where he will be getting European football and playing under Quique Setién, who, lest we forget, has produced some really good talent there, like, for instance, Fabian Ruiz.
Our PSG, just putting my negotiating hat on it, I'm going to be struggling to get Meunier and Lo Celso out of PSG.
I don't know if that's true.
I kind of wanted Fabian Ruiz to sign for Arsenal, going off at a complete tangent.
Yes.
Because I think he'd partner up very well with someone like Torreira. But I also, I think Lo Celso, I think he comes in almost as your wild card, I'm thinking at the moment.
Oh, I've got a really wild card.
Oh, really?
So well, you're going to have to go some people.
Someone with undoubted ability, but is he of a high enough calibre at the moment to plug those gaps?
Okay, so who are you going to offer?
See, my there's no guarantees than mine. My guy also.
And PVS has already turned his nose about him. I don't think he likes him. It's probably because of the age thing. It's Alan from...
I thought it was going to be Scott Brown.
Napoli.
Bruni.
Scottish Vidal.
No, in
it is... It's Alan from Napoli.
I mean, and I love this player. I love this player.
But do I love him as a defensive midfielder in front of the back?
You said we need a defensive midfielder, we need a central midfielder. You're open to the idea of getting both. Well, this guy is both wrapped up in one player. His defensive contribution is unreal. I think it's 5.8 tackles and interceptions per 90, and his ball progression is great. He's nearly creating two chances per game.
That's ridiculous. Currently,
is
good. But that worries me, I think.
He is all action, and he's been moulded, crafted by Sarri, and now finessed by Ancelotti, two world-class managers, entrusting him with an awful lot of responsibility. He's picking up the sort of, not slack, that's probably a bit harsh, but the numbers that are being left out on the pitch by Hamzik, who is kind of not ageing out. Again, a little bit harsh, but you know where I'm going with this. A bit of a metronome as well. Very good at keeping possession. Very composed, which has been my biggest criticism of Fred so far this season. Running around like he's not quite sure what system he's playing in. Like he's not decided what sort of partner he wants to be for Paul Pogba. And Fred is a totally different conversation as well to be had, right?
Fred's very much a rotation player.
Because Fred was supposed to be this player, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But I'm going to go... I'm gonna pluck for Alan.
Okay. If you can get him, he's great. He's old. He's expensive. Okay. I also think he's too progressive. Like, the thing about Lo Celso is he wants to pass forward. He doesn't want to move forward. I worry about a guy moving forward. And I think from what you've said... Actually, you know what? I was going to say from what you've said, you'll prefer Lo Celso. But from what you've said, I think you're going to go for Ruben Neves.
I am going to go for Ruben Neves. I am picking straight up to Jorge Mendes. I'm chucking him 20 million in agents fees. And I'm sure I can nick him off City because of our connection with him.
The great thing about that is he is going to be a deep line playmaker. He still has as many shots as Paul Pogba, doesn't he? He's going to be a bit more positionally disciplined, like you were sort of intimating there. And we all want to see Paul Pogba further up the pitch, don't we?
100%.
The thing about playing with Matic at the moment is that I feel like Paul, and we're on a first-name basis, we work for the club, I've met him in the corridor, I met him in the cafe, that he feels like he has to play 10 yards away from Matic at all times because he's got no legs.
And he has to spray all of the deep balls. One of Ruben Neves' best skill sets is that ability to distribute long from deep. And Paul Pogba does that all the time for United. Get him out of there, I'm telling my manager tomorrow. So Ruben Neves, I've overruled you both, is coming in and I'm on the phone to Mendes. Central midfielder then. Let's keep this one tight because I'm pretty stocked for central midfielders. But I want somebody to come in and improve on Fred.
I think you're going to have to take this one, mate, because I'm actually...
Okay, that's fine.
Alan was my plan A, plan B, plan C.
I think if you can get Alan and you've already got Ruben Neves, then I wouldn't get Lo Celso and Ruben Neves.
I've got another option that's coming in, and he's going to be my Juan Mata replacement. He's coming in, he's costing us zero, gentlemen. I've been on the phone to his agent already. In fact, I was on the phone to his agent.
Oh, I know who it is!
Yeah. I was on the phone to his agent in 2006 when he chose Arsenal. Aaron Ramsey is joining the club on a free as a Juan Mata replacement.
That's not bad business for free.
That leaves my midfield unit of Paul Pogba, Ruben Neves, Matic, Fellaini, Fred and Aaron Ramsey.
What I would say about Aaron Ramsey, though, he's going to play the same role he's currently playing Arsenal
I'm not now,
right? Because his defensive numbers have declined. You want 13, 14 Ramsey. That's what you want, isn't
it? I don't. I actually want a progressive Ramsey. I want Ramsey to come in and change games for me from the bench, probably.
At least he likes to shift the ball quickly.
So then you're going to a certain extent, hold Paul Pogba back?
I actually wouldn't. I think
that's inevitable.
I'd have a midfield three of, I'm hoping Fred's coming good, Fred, Pogba and Ruben Neves. And then when we're 1-1 in the 60th minute, I'm taking Fred off and I'm bringing Ramsey on. And I'm going,
it's not the worst
Pogba
idea.
Ramsey, let's get,
or even
let's
go a diamond sometimes and
because
put
I
Ramsey
actually don't
up there.
Think Ramsey can play 40 games, 50 games a season.
No, he can't.
So I'm
and he
perfectly
can't defend
happy
anymore
with him in a rotational area and giving Pogba a rest when he needs it. I think that's something that doesn't happen enough for United at the moment. Pogba plays every minute of every game unless he's falling out with Jose.
Talking of rest, your man Romelu Lukaku, who's played every 90 minutes in the last 12 games, he needs replacing big time, doesn't he? So should we move on to him after you've picked the midfield?
Oh, well, yeah, I picked Ramsey and Ruben Neves. That's it, done.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
the thing about Lukaku...
We wasted a month there.
Lukaku's missed 8 games in the last 4 Premier League seasons.
But I'm not after a striker, gentlemen. I've not asked you here to get a striker in the door.
I've got you a forward, though.
I wanted a forward to replace Alexi because I want to start playing Rashford as a 9, as a rotational 9 with Rom.
Mutiny. I think we need a striker.
So you can bring a striker to the table, but he's going to have to be better than Rashford and Rom.
Did you just say you want to play Rashford through the middle?
I want to play Rashford through the middle.
Okay, interesting. I like that. I do like that. I think there's areas of Rashford's game which would indicate he wants to be a striker. His creative numbers aren't particularly great. We've discussed this before, haven't we? And I like him through the middle. He's a nice, pacey option.
So who's
smart,
your option?
But, I mean, okay, I've brought a right winger to the table because I knew you'd say that. Let's have it right.
Good.
And I've also thrown in a couple of strikers who Van Straten's put in scripts at the start of this year that have kind of really pushed my buttons, let's say, in weeks just passed. And I've gone for... So the triumvirate is Kingsley Coman.
Not for me. That's going to take some persuading, boy.
He was on my shortlist.
That's a non-star.
That's going to take some persuading.
2 ligament tears in the last year. That's
never
what
started
still
more than 20 league games
still
in a season.
Still only 22, though.
Never started more than 20 league games in a season. Yes. And since 2015, he's not started more than 10 games in a calendar year.
That is rough.
Absolutely mulled through my plans.
However, you've got to look at him.
But he... I mean, he started 10 games last campaign, mate. He still contributed to 6 goals.
Bring him in on trial.
So when he plays, he's decisive. He's dangerous. And I think if we put a bit of faith into him, he could be repaid tenfold because he is magnificent.
I'll accept the points. I'll mull over it.
And he's absolutely furious they didn't make the France squad. He wants to move. Robin and Ruben both got new contracts. They're both playing extremely well right now. There's going to be an element of rotation. Well, there has been. That's been a hallmark of Bayern this season, hasn't it? The unbelievable amount of rotation. I don't think they put out a consecutive 11 for 5-6 games in a row.
Okay.
But I think we could get him cheap, right?
Okay.
The other two boys, Luka Jovic and Piatek. Ooh. I think we get in ahead of the curve and
gambles.
Get one of those boys through before the rest of the big boys come sniffing. So, of course, Luka Jovic, Eintracht Frankfurt, start of the season, has gone off like an absolute rocket. In 300 minutes, mate, that's 3 start and 3 substitute appearances, 7 goals, 1 assist. OK, he's taken 3.6 shots per game. Expected goals has him down around 3 goals. So he's overperforming massively. We know these numbers aren't sustainable.
It helps when you play Dusseldorf. They are shocking.
But equally, 3.6 shots for someone like Frankfurt is fairly healthy. A mid-table side.
There's a reason Bayern were linked with him in the summer.
Yes.
Is what I'm saying.
And
I'm sat here frowning.
A decent creative forward. Decent creative forward as well. One key pass. Now, Piatek, obviously...
That's a punt.
More of a gamble.
He's just a goal scorer.
He has been ruthless for Genoa at the start of this season. Genoa went out and bought 5 strikers in the summer. Piatek being one of them for 4.5 million from...
Not
a lot. I want to say...
Krakowia.
Krakowia.
But this for
sounds
me,
like a place on bloody Marvel.
This for me is very reminiscent of the Rooster. What was his name? Was it Torino?
Belotti.
The Rooster.
It was Belotti. And he
the fact
went
that
off,
you remembered that, but not his actual
he
name.
He went off
great.
Like a rocket. United were linked to him to the tune of 110 million. Where is he now?
And he was overperforming XG.
And I'd
so
imagine
is
so is Piatek.
He is.
I'm looking
but
at this
still,
guy
he still
and I'm
looks
thinking,
very good.
If Belotti was the rooster, this guy could be the chicken.
I've got to say, if you're pitching one of these, Jovic is better.
Yeah.
Younger, and I think better.
I 100% agree with that. But just before the big boys. Like I said, snap one of them up. It's worth a risk. I think none of them are going to cost you Belotti money.
Okay, I'm tempted. True. Pato, who are you bringing? Right winger.
Please. I think you're kind of stocked for like centre forward options. You've got Lukaku, you've got Rashford, you've got Martial. Like, you might not want to play him there, but he can. And I think as a result, what I want is a guy who can play on the right wing, who's got big creative numbers, because as Ham was saying, those guys are more goal scorers. I want a creator. So I looked at Kingsley Coman.
Okay.
I've looked at Federico Chiesa.
Ooh, from Fiorentina.
Only 20, involved in 11 league goals our season. XG had it closer to 13, which is about one every other game. Very good for a 20-year-old. Good dribbler. Shots, key passes going up every year. However, very young. I think you could afford to let somebody else take a punt on him and try him again at 23.
However, Juventus have been sniffing.
They have, though I think with Juventus, I don't really know where there's space for him. They've got Bernadeschi's barely playing at the moment. I think he's better than Chiesa. But
Chiesa more
central.
I'll
be honest, gentlemen. Right? I'm not thrilled by your picks.
I've got a better one.
Okay, I'm excited now because I'm not thrilled by your two picks.
Look, you should be looking at a right winger. But definitely. There's also the part of me that thinks, you're Man United, you should go for the best possible player you can get. So I've gone for a guy who prefers to play off the left, but is actually also very good off the right. I've gone for Memphis Depay.
We have the buyback clause, £32 million.
I thought you were saying Mesut
Ozil. We have the buyback, £32 million.
Fast, versatile, physical specimen, 24 years old. Last season in league, he was creating 2.7 chances a game, leading his team. You know how many he's creating so far this season per 90? 4.4. That is outrageous.
That's fucking disgusting.
That's outrageous. He was sixth in Ligue 1 for chances created per 90 last season. Fifth for shots. Completing a couple of dribbles a game too. He was involved in 32 goals in 2,500 minutes. That's one every 80 minutes. Same number of goals as Neymar, though, in some more minutes. But 19 goals, 13 assists in a proper league. He's got everything that I'd want from that sort of player. And you can get him for less than you're going to pay for Meunier as a right back. That seems to me like
Meunier's
a no-brainer.
Meunier's locked in, let it go.
That right? seems to me like a no-brainer. And also, hopefully Meunier gets
can
injured.
He play off the right? I want to hear your argument for why he can play off the right.
He has played off the right.
He's played exclusively off the left, and he's a poor man's Martial.
You say he played off the left, but did he play? Like, that's my issue. He played across the midfield three when he was at PSV. He's also done it for the Netherlands, and he's done it at Lyon. I think as well, it's a bit weird at Lyon to get into this idea of so-and-so plays in this position specifically. When you look at Fekir, he's played right wing, kind of as a centre-forward and a second striker. Depay has played everywhere in the attacking four positions. In fact, I'd say the only one who's really stuck to his position day in, day out has been Bertrand Traore, who pretty much exclusively plays off the right. And I don't think he's United standard. I looked at Fekir, but I thought Liverpool got so far down the road, took a gander at his knee and thought, we don't want this guy. And I think Memphis Depay has got an exceptionally good injury record and you can get him for less money. And actually, if you ask me who's more talented out of Fekir and Depay, I say Depay. And I think it's backed up by the numbers. His numbers are better than Fekir's and he's got no horrible injuries in his past.
Okay. I'm very tempted by Meunier. I mean, by Memphis Depay, I have to say. I think I'm exercising the right to bring Memphis back, even if it's to sell him on.
I think that's wise.
So I am going to select Memphis.
Let the new manager take a look at him. That's
I
what
want
I'm
him back.
He's going to take some convincing.
I don't care. I'll just
he's
say
having here's a great time of it.
Here's the money, and I've just paid your buyout. So
does that count? Have I levelled it up at two each? Then
I think you pretty much levelled it up at two.
Pretty
each.
Diplomatic way to finish.
I think I'm going to go for.
Oh, we've
Memphis
got a wild card left.
We've got a wild card, but you're going to go some to beat mine because it's Neymar. And I think Neymar is going to be available.
Wow, this was not how I interpreted
I'm not
wild card.
Mine.
So my wild card is Neymar. I think that Real Madrid are more likely to move for Hazard. I don't think he's going to stay at PSG much longer. And he is going to really make my mate Ed Woodward a happy bunny commercially.
Okay.
So Neymar, for me, is my wild card.
And Martial drops to the bench.
Martial, Neymar, Lukaku. Talk to me.
What's the evidence Martial can play off the right?
He can't. I'm playing Neymar off the right.
What?
I'm playing Neymar where he wants me.
Neymar's never played. Yeah, which is definitely not the right.
I've also just thought of a wild card, and it's going to throw my. It's going to really throw my situation into a mess, and it's also going to throw my 4-3-3 into a mess. It could well end up being that I play Romelu Lukaku and Martial as a front two, which I'm not completely averse to, by the way, and using Meunier and Shaw as width. I'm going to bring
Jesus
Dele Alli to the table.
Ooh, you don't get him.
Why?
You do not get him.
He's signed down to a long-term contract, my friend. We would be paying through the arse for him.
I don't know. There is the part of me that thinks, actually, like, I could see the Spanish clubs looking at him and thinking, no, he's not for us. But he is out of this world this season. Like, this season, he's still doing exactly...
21, 22?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this season, he's got exactly the same chance creation and shot numbers he had last season, but he's also doing build-up play, and I'm not entirely certain how he swung that, but he is doing it. And to me, he's a little bit Vidal-y. He's in that Vidal-y alley. Like, he's doing that that part of... he's doing kind of every part of the game that I could hope for from a central midfielder.
And it's all equating to monstrous output when it comes to contributing to goals per 90.
And he is a physical beast as well. He's so big. Like, he's a weapon. Yeah. And this is a real arsehole-y team now, if you get in Meunier and Dele Alli.
Yeah, no, I'm tempted.
We want to play Alli as a second striker, though, don't we? If we bring him in for massive cash, you want to play him where he's, like you said, been absolutely unbelievable, has a very unique skill set. That's not going to happen if Joe's playing Martial off Lukaku.
You know, it's right, you're right.
Or if Neymar's on the right.
But push Fred to the bench, play him in a midfield three, let him get forward and instruct Pogba to stay back like he did for Juventus.
No. Do you know what? I'm actually not going to go with a wild card. I'm very happy with the suggestions you brought to the table and that I've brought to the table. Okay. So I'm going to lock them in. I'm going to lock in my six signings for Manchester United, along with the squad I spoke about earlier, as Meunier at right back, Skriniar and Akanji at centre half, Ramsey and Neves coming into the midfield, and Memphis Depay as the buyback clause. That's the team that I'm looking to bring in. And squad, I think, is jacked.
So it's expensive, but excellent overhaul. And it actually gets less expensive as you go forward.
Yeah, it gets a lot less expensive. I'm reckoning I can prize Neves away for sub-80 with the deals I can Mendes. Memphis is costing me 30. Ramsey's costing me nothing. Meunier, we're talking about 30 to 40 million.
Yeah,
and then Skriniar is probably going to be my most expensive move alongside Akanji.
I reckon Skriniar's costing you 70.
Fixed Manchester United in 1 hour and 6.
There we go. Fixed. Now do it, Ed.
Okay, second section of the new podcast then, lads. How's everyone? I think this is going so far, by the way, before we move
on.
Surprisingly well.
Are we having fun?
I'm loving it.
We're normally looking at the camera, aren't we? Looking square into each other's eyes at the moment. I've got to say, I almost kissed Pat on the neck earlier. Right, on to row Z, which is where we kick two things out of football each week. One of us chairs it, the other two battle for the approval of the arbitrator, which is me this week.
That was nicely put.
So you are pitching it to me. A lot of pitching going on this week. And what the hell are you kicking out of football, Joe?
Do you want me to go first, Patrick?
I would like you to
because
go first.
Mine is less football and it's FIFA. It's not kicking FIFA out of the game. It's kicking a glitch within FIFA out of the game that has irritated me day and night this last 7 days.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
It's really got under my skin. And it's on pro clubs. If you're listening at home and you play FIFA, it is quite niche. I will be honest. But pro clubs, for a long time now, in my opinion, has been the best game mode in FIFA.
Absolutely.
It's been underappreciated. It's not been developed for 4 years now, FIFA. Please pull your finger out.
What's your character called?
My character, because I'm a normal human and not a child, is just called Joe Tomlinson and looks like me. Unless you're Milad Mogadan, you're 31 and you're rocking long white dreads, then I'm not happy. Honestly, the amount of people, the amount of children that I play against on pro clubs that have big purple afros and are rocking pink boots and their name is something like X Shot Skills on the back of their shirt is pathetic. Mills is the exact same as those children, but he's 31 and his username is Mills1987. Sorry to make you out there, Milad, but it's entirely true. And if you had your way, Milad, we would be booting balls, and this brings me onto the glitch quite nicely, because the glitch is effectively, if you're a goalkeeper in pro clubs, you can kick the ball the entire length of the pitch.
It's haunting.
And it lands on your penalty spot where the opposition striker has stood, and of course he can't be offside because you can't be offside from goal kicks, who just taps it in. And it is undefendable.
What?
It is a ridiculous glitch, and if a player like Milad had their way, they would do it every single time they got a goal kick.
It's a glitch that people who play FIFA relentlessly are always quickest to jump to, because it's obviously you have to it becomes repetitive, doesn't it? You have to learn it by repeating it. So you've just tried for 10, 15 minutes to score a great goal, and then a 15-year-old from Blackpool just scores in the next instance when you're not focused.
And, you know, this is why I have ultimate respect for George Wright, because he plays his Football Daily's Enny. He is a purist, and he refuses to do it, even though it's still possible.
Do you play an Enny?
We play an Enny, and it's George Wright, because he is absolutely ridiculous at FIFA. So I've got a couple of rosettes. Number one is the fact that Pro Clubs hasn't been improved for 4 years. Somebody pull the finger out and improve it, because it's unbelievable. And secondarily, the glitch that is currently blighting the EA Sports community to the point of absolute infuriation.
No return.
So Pro Clubs, glitch, and lack of investment is my rosette for the week. I am sweating here.
You had me emotionally invested. You tapped into my interests. That was very, very good. However, you also said that you play with an Enny, which in my books is bad form. It's terrible form. It goes back to you being a bad bloke. All right?
Really?
An Enny. An Enny is unforgivable, but that is a strong... As soon as you said a glitch, I thought, what a waste of time.
But I've pulled it out, I'll be honest. And if you're listening at home and you know what I'm talking about, please tweet me if you found a solution. Because I'm desperate for it, guys. I'm desperate.
Right. Van Straten, can you counteract that with something serious, something from the football world, you know, the real football world, just to offer a nice sense of balance?
I'm just... I don't know if I can match the intensity.
We'll try.
That's the thing. I mean, I will do my best. I would like to talk about Alex Iwobi.
He's
a man I'd like to bring to the table. Now, last season, I stood against the current when I said that Alex Iwobi, contrary to popular opinion, was not dog shit, was not Watford quality, should not be in the Championship, should not be sold for a pittance. I was seeing people saying, put Reece Nelson in the first team, sell Iwobi, he's useless. I do not understand this point of view.
Were any of those voices from the office? I'm looking
at Dave Jackson here as a potential candidate.
Yes, but he is...
Jack Wilshere, 10-year contract.
Yeah, he's a manager. That's what annoyed me. So there were a lot of people saying, Jack Wilshere, keep him here. Great player, brilliant on the ball. You know, classic Arsenal player.
He gets it. Wants it.
Yeah, exactly. He's a local lad. Alex Iwobi, is he not a local lad? Alex Iwobi, they're like, oh no, fancy Dan. Thinks he's better than he is. Zero output, zero end product. Bollocks. Was involved in 8 goals last season. Not bad as a sub. Pretty good rotation option, given that Arsenal were horrific in the league. And when I look at him this season, he's really kicked on. And suddenly, all these people...
Kicked on in what sense? Because they will want me to question you on this.
Well, last season, he was... he's actually creating about the same number of key passes, but the quality of chances he's created has gone up massively. Oh, expected goals, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to bring them up. Last season, expected goals... you also have a thing called expected assists, which goes with it, obviously, which like rates the quality of chances you create. Last season, it was putting his chances created plus expected goals at about 0.4 a game, which is very, very good for a 22-year-old. This season, he's about 0.65.
Wow.
And the reason for that is because his expected assists have climbed from 0.17 to 0.47. Now, to make that a little bit less kind of like numbery and statsy, imagine it this way. Last season, he had about a 17% chance of assisting in a game. This season, he has a 47% chance of assisting in a game, which basically means you expect an assist from him every other game. That is exceptional.
How much of this is him improving as an individual, and how much of this is your attack being far more coherent at the start of this campaign?
I do not think it is. I think our attack is substantially worse at the beginning of the season than it was last year. I think our shot numbers...
Well, then, match of the day is not to be trusted.
Our shot numbers have massively declined, and we have been able to run up the score at the end of the games, I would say. But that's largely been because of some great finishing. The chances we've created have not been particularly good.
5-1 against Fulham, 3-1 against Leicester.
I think we were a bit lucky to get 5-1 against Fulham. We had three good goals. We had three kind of easy goals there, but Lacazette scored from outside the box. Aubameyang banged one in from the edge of the box. And again, we've seen Fulham concede 4 to Cardiff. We weren't actually creating great chances there. Now, Leicester was very good. That was genuinely an excellent attacking performance. But so far this season, we've struggled to do what we did last year. Last year, go back and watch Arsenal's games and you will see a horrible defence married to what was always a pretty damn good attack. Arsenal's attack was very good throughout the course of the season. There was almost no point where it dropped and ended up as the joint third highest scoring team in the league behind City and Liverpool only, which is pretty impressive. This season, I think it's starting to gel, and Iwobi does benefit from getting sub minutes sometimes, coming on late, or from what looks like improved fitness.
Because at least ostensibly, from the outside looking in, as not an Arsenal fan, Unai Emery's use of substitutions in your attacking department has been excellent.
Yeah, well, it stretches the game. And I think also fitness levels have gone up. Everybody always said under Wenger, people really weren't tested and weren't particularly put through their paces. And I think as a result, when we played top teams, you often saw Arsenal simply not just outplayed, but outrun. You know, Liverpool and Spurs can go up and down the pitch all day, and Arsenal will kind of struggle with that. I think that Iwobi...
But what's your rose, Ed? Because you've said a lot of good things here.
No, my issue is the way that Arsenal fans have spoken about Alex Iwobi, and that when he got a new contract in the summer, there were Man United fans like sending like laughing gifts underneath, as if Jesse Lingard's better than Iwobi, which he isn't. Even though I quite like Jesse Lingard, Rashford certainly isn't as good as Iwobi.
Are we specifically kicking trolls out of
no, what, no, it's not. What I object to more are the Arsenal fans who were saying, like, this is disgusting, he's terrible, get him out of our club, he's rubbish. And now this season, they're like, always knew he'd come good, quality player,
the
classic Arsenal player.
Arsenal fans.
It annoys me that people want to jump on players and say they're bad. George Wright is actually guilty of this as well. He will say a player is shit at the drop of a hat, and then 2 weeks later, he'll be like, oh, he's quality, isn't he? Because he scored for us. And it just drives me up the fucking wall. I don't see why people can't understand.
Emotionally unbalanced fans? Well, fans who need to educate themselves more? Your argument's far more coherent, far more related to football. But I know what Joe's kicking out of football. I'm not sure
what
you yet.
What I'm kicking out of football are all fans.
Like, you're kicking out the hypocrisy amongst Arsenal fans.
Manifest.
I'd say actually the way we speak about players, we are far too... quick to rush to judgment, and I think that we don't give players enough time to breathe. Especially a guy, you know what could be another part of Iwobi improving. Everyone wants to say it's Unai Emery. Know what it all could also be? He's going from 22 to 23, which is often when attacking players start to look really good.
But we're guilty of that as well, aren't we? I mean, I've just suggested Luka Jovic and Piatek because they've had seven good games at the start of the season.
But you've done it with like the caveat that it is a gamble. You've said, you know what, he's a very good young player. He's got all the baselines we'd expect to see in a good young player. And you have to understand you're taking a risk. That's different from saying, this guy is guaranteed to be, you know, one of the top stars in the world. And then immediately after they have two or three games without scoring, saying he's useless, get him out of the club. That's right, what okay. I object to.
I think two very good arguments. I think, Patrick, yours is a lot more endemic in football. A lot harder to solve. More multifaceted, far more interesting. But I'm going to boot Joe's out. I'm going to advise the people at home to vote for Joe. But we will be staging a poll on Monday's show because the people will decide the ultimate winner. Let's move on to our third section, which is facts with Rafa Benitez, presented by me this week because I didn't have a rosette. Because I'm emotionally balanced. Not today, though. I was absolutely furious filming Sunday Fives. And we're going to move straight into it, gentlemen. You probably just heard my pad turn over. This is where we come to the table with three facts about ourselves. And the first few episodes will probably be football related, you know, just to keep it in the house, all right? Is that a saying? Probably not. Anyhow, I've gone for...
So basically, the premise is two truths and a lie. You're going to bring two truths and a lie, or two lies and a truth.
Yes. So I've got three statements. One of them is true. However, one, you might have heard me say...
One is true.
One is true out of
Ooh.
The three. But you might have heard me say different iterations, different variations of other statements. So there's a few red herrings in there.
Oh, you've cheated.
Just
what you're
to
saying.
Get you, you know.
So it's a cheat.
Yeah, what I've done is make this harder by cheating.
Okay, okay. Good.
But roll with it.
And
okay?
So Joe and I are going to use our skills of detection to work out where you've been lying.
And which
where,
one's true.
And where you are technically telling the truth.
And I want you to come together as a team and pick which one you think I'm lying about. Because I won't take two separate answers. Two out of three, I'm not letting you play the odds.
Fine. Okay? No worries.
And this week has been inspired by Champions League football. The last Champions League game I went to, Celtic versus Barcelona.
Is that a lie?
That is true.
Okay.
But I do like that you're on edge. First statement. I once had a number two next to Didier Agathe at the Celtic versus Barcelona Champions League game.
Interesting. Interesting.
Who the hell is Didier Agathe?
That makes it feel plausible that I've never heard of this man.
I can give you a bit of context. He was a right back during the Martin O'Neill years and he terrorised Juventus. Zambrotta still has nightmares about Didier Agathe in our 4-3 victory at Parkhead in 2003.
All right, give us fact two.
And give us fact two. That game is around Halloween.
All right? So
what were they terrorised Zambrotta? Yeah. That's definitely not true.
So I thought, Champions League, Didier Agathe, I'm going to continue on the Celtic theme. Neil Lennon once promised me that Celtic wouldn't sell Aidan McGeady outside of a chicken shop and proceeded to sell him the next week.
That's a great story.
Big claim.
What's fact three?
Fact three. I once received a Twitter DM from Matt Elliott that was just a winky face.
Oh, now I do know he's had conversations with Matt Elliott in the past.
Yeah, you do have a long-standing, slightly homoerotic relationship with Matt Elliott.
Let's go back to fact
your pals.
I exude a bit of a Twinkie vibe.
Pals, and you guys get on.
Let's go back to fact number one, though.
Okay.
Why are we doing a poo next to, what was his name?
Didier Agathe.
Yeah,
Didier
I've got a bigger question. How did you know the identity? Because I assume you're in a stall. I understand that it's in Glasgow, but I assume they still have stalls. And it's not just like holes in the ground.
Holes in the ground.
You know, along a road. So how did you know the identity? Or did you go in, check over, just in case it was a legend of the club? and then sit down.
Okay, so this is where it takes on a sort of would I lie to you vibe. I'm being elaborate because it's episode one. I can now proceed to lie about these three statements. You've got to worm out the truth.
He's putting lies on lies.
Yes.
Lieception. I knew it was Didier Agathe because we both finished pretty much at the same time. flush, washed our hands next to one another. He gave me a nod. I went, Didier. He nodded again.
Ooh.
Very fluent lie.
I think it's very impolite and to say Didier when you're washing your
I
hands.
I will add that
you
I'd
can
had,
assume he's pissed. That's
I'd
fine.
Had yes. I'd had four or five pints.
So was this where did you say this was?
This was at Parkhead. Celtic versus Barcelona.
Okay. Mm. What was Didier Agathe doing in the fan section of Parkhead at a game? Surely he was given preferential treatment.
What you think he should be in the hospitality loos?
I was equally surprised, Joseph. I can't answer that with anything profound, but I will add he's not that big a club legend.
Okay.
he isn't of corporate quality.
It's not like Larson.
It's
not like Larson.
And
is in the least.
I will also add that when we went to watch Barcelona, Eric Abidal was sat four rows behind us. We had better seats than Eric Abidal, didn't we?
Yeah, but we had outrageous seats.
Yeah, we did. Okay.
Moving
but a club
on
to, legend, not guaranteed.
Moving on to the next one. You say it happened outside a chicken shop. Where?
Maryland.
Name the chicken shop.
What?
Maryland.
Oh.
Not in Maryland, in the USA.
No, but where?
It was in Leicester, Maryland chicken. Sorry, I assumed that you'd get Leicester from Maryland because Maryland is an institution in Leicester.
I didn't know that Leicester was big on chicken shops. That sounds like a thing they do to pretend to be London.
Why on earth?
No further questions.
Why on earth was Neil Lennon in a chicken shop? Surely the man can afford better meals than chicken
shop meals.
Whoa
now.
He was actually a Celtic manager at this point. And Joe, I was also very surprised when I found him at 4 o'clock in the morning, Leicester with his bodyguard. I actually went to hug him. I initially got pushed away by the bodyguard. He said, what are you doing? Neil went, who are you? I said, I'm a Celtic fan. He said, no, you're not. And then I had to convince him for the next 5 minutes. I said, ask me about anyone. He asked me about Ljubo Mrazic. I said, do you mean the guy that Zidane said was the most technically proficient player he's ever seen? He said, he's a Celtic fan. And I'm not saying that Lennon went to the chicken shop. I did. I certainly did.
Well, did Lennon order?
No, he didn't. He didn't go to the chicken shop.
So what was he doing outside it?
Outside's a bit misleading. He was 10, 15 yards away. I'd come out the chicken shop.
So what are you ordering?
He was just standing
shop?
About.
What had I had? I always get the strips.
You always got a strip
with
just
barbecue
strips,
sauce,
no
and it's daddy's barbecue sauce.
No
you know that cheap zingy stuff.
I know
stuff.
The one.
No chips.
You get a bin bag full of chips. I tend to just leave them there.
What was Lennon doing outside the chicken shop? He says
I'm trying
he's
to wonder if I can
yards
trick
away.
You.
He
somehow.
Didn't order. What? Oh, what? What was he doing there? Is there a restaurant in the vicinity of the area?
He loves a drink, doesn't he? He loves a drink, and he's got ties with Leicester. I assume he was seeing friends.
When did this happen?
It happened around the same time Celtic qualified for the last 16 for the first time.
Who was the player he asked you about?
Under him. Aidan McGeady, I asked him about.
Who was the player he asked you about?
Lou Bamarachi.
Oh, he's remembered. Mm. Trying to catch him out there.
Good.
It was around, it was late October, because I actually asked about McGeady in the January transfer window. Because that's when he left for Moscow.
Right.
He sold him. He also promised me, on a side note, I'm going to give you some for free here. He also promised me we'd sign Sol Campbell as a free agent. We didn't.
Hmm.
He went to Newcastle.
So he lied to you.
There's a lot of detail, but almost too much detail.
No, I think there's a good level of detail there. I think that's more than the fact there was a Celtic former right back having a poo next to him, and it happened that he walked out at the same time.
Is he ODing on the detail to lead them away from a gap?
So I want to hit.
It just sounds like you've bumped into a lot of legends.
What was fact number three?
Both
again?
In your mind and in reality.
What was fact number three?
I once received a DM from Matt Elliott that was just a winky face.
Did you follow Matt Elliott first, or did he follow you?
I asked for his number.
Oh, I bet he did.
You don't need his number to
Dream
DM him.
Team event. And this is
he did
this
go
is,
to a Sun Dream Team event, and Matthew Elliott's exactly the sort of bloke that
really hard for you guys, in the sense that there's elements of truth throughout, but the devil's in the detail. Obviously, on Would I Lie to You, they get
one
pull things out of hat. You have to make it up on the spot.
Yeah,
so
you've embroidered.
We might have to change the format moving forward, but for this week,
we're proceeding. I'm very intrigued. Now, Matty Elliott, I know has spoken to you in the past, and you have had DM conversations, because I remember you telling me about them, and I do remember Matty Elliott being at the Sun Dream Team Football Christmas Quiz, in which a number of Z-list footballers turned up onto stage alongside you as your quiz team representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And Matty Elliott was probably one of them.
I'm not debating any of that. My issue here is that I think Matty Elliott might have sent a winky face. And it might have even been on its own line. You know, like he pressed enter after when he sent it. But I think it would have been part of a larger message, and I think that counts as one message. I don't think that if you say yeah, that sounds good, Chris, enter, winky face, enter, doesn't count as a message.
I completely agree with you there, Patrick.
So you might be swindling us.
But the only thing you haven't taken into account is Chris could have had conversations with him on Twitter and then made a joke or something like that and made a statement, and Matty Elliott, rather than wanting to publicly reply, opted to DM him with the wink in order to acknowledge the joke, but not do it publicly.
I feel like it's almost certain the winky face happened. All I'm contesting are the details around it, the circumstances.
Agree.
You know, my instinct here, it's difficult, because if Hamill was going to make something up, I can see him making up the chicken shop and Lennon.
I can't.
I can see him making up something bowel related, which is our opening one.
My instinct is screaming Aidan McGeady.
Really? My instinct is going for Didier Agathe.
Agathe. There's no way
Felix
it's Didier
Magath.
I think you're totally wrong. There's absolutely no chance it's Didier Agathe. There is no chance Didier Agathe was having a poo in Queen's Park, happened to be next to Hamill at a Barcelona Celtic
game. But he might have embroidered it. And so, it might be a thing where it's like they end up at the thing at the same time. Hamill's thought to himself, I know what just happened here. And, you know, just in his mind, he's pieced it together after the event.
And I'm also saying, I've got a question for you. What stage of the game was the Didier Agathe poo?
Half-time.
No chance. Absolute nonsense. He's just thrown himself under the bus there.
What, because of the
no rational fan poos at half-time because of the queue length. Didier Agathe was certainly not doing
it. Yeah, but maybe Hamill went in with 5 minutes to go till half-time.
I'm not having it. He would have said that.
And it ended mid-half-time.
Then he would have said that because Didier Agathe would not be
but he might be lying about that to throw you off.
Didier Agathe would not be going.
He might have gone at 22 mins or something.
I'm almost certain it's Aidan McGeady. I fear Aidan McGeady. Neil Lennon's the exact type of bloke who'd have a bodyguard as well.
I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you. Are we ruling out Matty Elliott? Because the thing is, Matty Elliott's so plausible.
We know he's had DMs with Matty Elliott, but I'm saying
it just feels like cheating, Matty Elliott.
Yeah, same. I'm going Aidan McGeady. What? Are you
don't
going
get me wrong. I think he's probably been conniving.
Go on.
But I feel like...
Put your name down, because me and you've got a...
Very conniving, I add.
We've got to have one here.
Any final questions before you come to a conclusion?
I don't think so. I think we've had enough information.
Look, your passion on this issue means that I'm happy to go with you, because that way if we're wrong, I can blame you.
Okay, I'm happy to put my neck on the line. Aidan McGeady, Christopher.
This is the last one I'd have gone for. If I go in my heart,
It's not the Daniel Agar poo gate.
I go cubicle.
Oh my god. It's got to be McGeady.
Are we locking that answer in?
I'm locking McGeady in.
We're going for McGeady.
Excellent, excellent guess from you guys. That is the correct
one. Yes! Oh, Tomlinson.
McGeady.
He saved the day.
Trust the bowels.
Oh, okay. What were the little lies that you told us?
In your defence, Didier Gath, something very, very similar happened.
But it wasn't at half-time at Queen's Park. You were not pooing at half-time at Celtic game.
Celtic Park. Parkhead, please. Put a bit of respect on its name. Queen's Park. Don't know where you get that from. We had a wee. And it next to one another.
Oh, you've mentioned this
before. I thought that might throw you. I thought you would remember that on a Sunday Vibes about 2 years ago.
I knew it. Nobody poos at half-time in football.
Yeah.
The cubicles are exclusively taken by men urinating.
Yeah. And Chris Hamill has spoken at length about, being the operative phrase, about various footballers' penises.
Yeah.
And his feelings thereon.
Yes.
Big fan. Dion Dublin was also at Celtic, and we all know about him.
Yes.
And Matt Elliott.
He had DMs, but not with
me. Not a DM. It was a text.
That is an
elusive
detail.
That's so much worse.
The first thing he texted you was a wink face.
No, it wasn't a winky face either. It was just a normal text.
Oh, that's absolutely
perv. So, perv. It was just very friendly at the quiz, wasn't he? And we made a joke out of it, because we appreciated the warmth that he sent our way. But he didn't just send me a winky face. That would have been weird. Anyway, that is the end of the podcast. Shall we leave it up to... We've not really discussed what to do at this point, have we?
I literally have no idea how we wrap this.
Usually they end it by saying something like, please rate and review us 5 stars.
Oh yeah, that would be good. And if you want to sponsor our podcast, then hit us up, because we're doing this gratis at the moment. I can't be bothered.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Watch out for this news Monday.
See ya.